Da Bears.
What is up? The boys are back. God damn you, Dale. The boys are back. Episode 10 of Da Bear Minimum Podcast. Today is Thursday, November 11th, 11-11. Hey. The gang is back together, reunited, and it feels so good. Producer Jake's with us.
Howdy, everyone.
Sam's here.
What's up, beautiful people?
And Dolly Dale's here, too.
Hey, everybody.
I am Marcos, and again, this is Da Bear Minimum Podcast on Twitter, at Da Bear Min Pod, Facebook, Da Bear Minimum Podcast as well, Apple Music on Spotify. Appreciate you guys coming back for episode 10. Guys, we are going to get started like we usually do. We'll do some sports minutes here. We'll have a good time. I think, Sam, where are you thinking we're going to start off? Let's start off on some Hawks minutes. Or actually...
Yeah, Hawks minutes should work.
Yeah, let's do Hawks minutes. Producer Jake, take it
Hawks
away.
Hawks minute. My wishes have been granted. Jeremy Colleton is gone.
Hallelujah! Woo!
Dreams are happening. The boys have won two in a row. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought we
not
went
me.
Two in a row?
Like, literally not you from a week ago or like a week and a half ago.
I was worried we were never going to win. No, we won two in a row. The boys... You know, they haven't played anybody good, but fuck it. Two wins. Patrick Kane's awesome. I love this team. We're back.
Yeah, it looks like Fleury's getting it back together. So,
Eddie Olczyk for president of hockey operations. President.
Eddie Olczyk should get hired.
Is that a wrap on Hawks?
That's a wrap on the Hawks.
That's a wrap on the Hawks. Dale, take us away with a Cubs minute.
All right, quick things. One, they hired a new hitting coach, Greg Brown. He was a minor league hitting coordinator with the Rays previously. Cool. People are using the pitch clock in lower level baseball right now, and it's actually going pretty well, people say. We'll see what happens there. Three, I'm really scared there's going to be a lockout because I love baseball, but we'll worry about that bridge when we get there.
Do you think we should? I mean, I think we should just be worried now. Isn't it inevitable?
Don't ruin the rest of football season. I want basketball season. I'll wait for the lockout when it happens.
All right. Guys. Future us problems. Let's just.
All right. And how about a White Sox minute? Give me Southside.
Just a couple quick things. Cesar Hernandez not picked up. Kimbrel picked up. Players seem to like him.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Gotta love a red beard.
Liam Hendricks spoke highly of him, and he's like, we hope we can figure it out and get things going. But if they trade him, they trade him. I don't really care.
Did Liam Hendricks say something like, oh, he's a nice cunt, or like something like that? Something
a bloke.
He's a great bloke on the body.
A chum.
We didn't do a qualifying offer for Rodon. We'll see what happens with that. He's going to test free agency, which he deserves to. But we got Kopech coming down the line to be a starter anyway. So
God, I envy those pitching prospects that are still in the Cubs, or in the White Sox farm system.
It's, I mean, you remember that feeling of being really excited.
It was so nice
to watch all your kids come up.
15.
Yeah, it was great. Jake, we're kind of rooting for you.
I just hope they win a playoff game for once.
Just very quickly,
or a series.
As I've gotten older, I have definitely changed from a diehard Cubs fan to like. And I know people don't like this very much. I'll root for the Sox now since the Cubs are, like, out of it. Like, that's not what they're thinking about right now. So, like, Chicago World Series, let's do it.
I want you to know that even when my team was dog shit, I could give a fuck about the Cubs.
Yeah, that tracks with you.
And that's Jake with the Sox, man.
Yeah, retract all
the
those
moment
Sox.
We've all been waiting for.
Guys, and the Eastern Conference leading... 8-3 Chicago Bulls.
Bulls!
Guys, this Bulls team, if I could... it's just fun. I don't know. Nobody knows what they are yet. I don't think you can really... Like, you can't really say what they are because we're 11 games into the season. But I could tell you they are a fun-ass team who should be, like we've said, in just about every game.
They're creating turnovers. They're shooting the ball well. I mean, there's flashy plays that are being made. And they're winning. All of those things are what fans want to watch, and it's what they're giving them. It's great to watch Chicago basketball right now.
Dude, it is so fun to have a fourth quarter team. Like, they just...
Closers.
Dude, ball out in the fourth quarter, and I love it.
Well, and we've talked about it a bunch, but, like, maybe we'll hit a couple spots here. the contributions that you're getting from these guys that are recently acquired,
Bench mob.
Guys, Alex Caruso. Did you guys hear that story that they said on the broadcast yesterday?
No, tell
so
me.
Basically, on the Jay Reddick. JJ Redick?
No, on podcast? On Alex, maybe that's where they talked about it, but I know Stacey and Adam talked about it on the feed last night for the game. But essentially, the Lakers wanted to bring back Caruso, but...
Not at Caruso's price.
They offered him like 2 years, like $7.5 million or something like that. And so Caruso then went out, got a couple free agent offers, took that offer back to the Lakers, and they told him good luck. Thank you, LA, because that guy is, like, dude, beloved already.
Well, yeah, on the JJ Redick podcast, he came in and said that he just had a great conversation with Donovan and AK, and AK and Donovan told him, like, what kind of player they think he is, and Caruso totally agreed, and he thought he'd fit the part and just jumped on board the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a little stretch of games here right now where we're going to see I think this is our West Coast trip, right? So we're in our West Coast trip.
We go 5 days on the – 5 games on the road.
You're going to see the Lakers. You're going to see the Blazers. You're going to see the Clippers. You're going to
see – Barnum and Bailey special.
The Nuggets.
Yeah, you're going to see the Nuggets. You're going to see a lot of playoff teams. The only playoff team in the next couple games not playoff team, but above 500 teams. Portland's 2 games below 500. You're going to see a lot of good stuff. But we need to talk about Nikola Vucevic.
Yep.
On the COVID protocols, I think, Dale, would you have a little more info on that?
Oh, he said, what I saw is he's out for a minimum of 10 days.
He is vaccinated.
I thought not a minimum of 10 days. I thought it was as soon as you test negative within 24 hours, twice.
Either way, he's playing like shit, so.
I don't know. I mean, last night that guy's a walking double-double. That guy last night gave you 18 and 10, other than those kind of some bummy offensive performances. I mean,
shooting percentages down though. That's the only thing is that like he'll get it. We'll get there. Maybe he needs a little bit of this.
I'm not worried about him. He's a perennial all star. Like he'll be fine.
To clarify, it is the two negative tests in a 24 hour period or 10 days.
Oh,
so,
okay.
All right. Everyone's right.
So let's before we move on, I'll just kind of leave you with a thought and. If you want to answer, answer. If you don't, don't. But after 11 games, what is the ceiling for the Chicago Bulls?
Is it 82 games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 80 wins.
What year?
Seth, we've lost 3 games.
Wait, we've lost 3 games.
Retroactive, baby.
What year did we go to the, or did we land on the moon?
1969.
Well, we're landing again in 2022, baby.
Are you confident on that number?
Because of Even Stevens, or because of the Even Stevens movie.
Great poll.
I see Jade texting already. Like, I want you to be right now, and I want it to be 69 so bad.
Yeah, it's 1969.
Never forget.
July 20th, 1969.
That was talking astrology!
No!
So, that's our Bulls. Keep an eye on it. I'm so stoked. Guys, to a recap of the game, Monday Night Football, so the whole world can see.
So bad.
Bears lose a heartbreaker in Pittsburgh to the Steelers and the refs. 27-29. I'm so torn on this game.
There are so many things that we can say.
I'm not.
So many plays that we can point to that, like, that play is why we lost. That's why we lost. That's why we lost. It's... This is fandom, especially for a bad franchise.
This is what I wanted. This is everything I wanted. I wanted the Bears to be the Chargers of last year. Lose with great quarterback play. The only downside is we don't have a first-round pick. But this is what I wanted. I thought this would be the best-case scenario for the Bears this season was to be the Chargers of last year. And so far that's happening.
Well, and get great quarterback play we got. Guys, Justin Fields was 17 of 29, 291 yards, touchdown and a pick, 10-yard average per completion.
How about that game-winning drive that didn't win the game but put us in position to? That throw.
It should have won the game.
That throw to Darnell Mooney was beautiful.
Guys, multiple times. So I don't know about you guys, but I've noticed it. The last couple weeks we've seen him, he gets that pressure in his face. He either scrambles out and gets sacked or he gets kind of caught up from behind on a scramble. Justin, for the first time all season, I would say, planted his feet,
mm-hmm.
made a throw, and took a hit.
Yeah, he looked like he was feeling the pressure and he knew where to drift to. And that spiral, like his spiral on Monday night, looked like it could have fit through a wrapping paper tube. Like, it was awesome.
And his quick sets for his feet, like when rolling out and running away from the pressure, like the he'd be running arm side to the field and then stop quick, turn, and dart one, and it was nice.
I actually have written down multiple great only my guy throws. Like, I can't agree more. The two touchdowns that he threw, by the way.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
Because, come on now.
Yeah.
That was a great only my guy throw. There was no one else getting to that ball, but there was just enough ball to be got to. So, good for him.
So, I had a thought while watching the last game, and it was, I really hope we get to the point where there's a graphic one Monday Night Football game that shows teams that passed on Justin Fields. For once, I just want to be on that side of the graphic.
That's a great thought, dude.
That didn't cross my mind. That's great.
Just keep dreaming, homie. That's all I gotta say. Like, keep dreaming about that.
I mean, can you imagine though? Like, can you imagine being the Denver Broncos, being the Carolina 49ers. Panthers, the Niners, waking up knowing that the Panthers guys, they signed Cam Newton today because Sam Darnold wasn't the play. You could have eliminated all this mess by taking a quarterback, taking the quarterback.
To answer your question, yes, I can imagine how that feels, because we took the number two pick. We traded up. Sorry, you know, lest we forget.
Damn.
And then we sat there. So yes, we do know exactly how that feels, and I'm glad that other people have to know how that feels now.
That feels like eons ago, though, doesn't it? Like, just looking in our Bears fandom and stuff. Like, I've
aged 10 years.
I've already moved past, and I'm gone from it. So. Other stuff on the offense, like anybody else impress you? Anything that you guys were looking at?
Yeah, the number two bullet I have is the offensive line was solid. Like they did give up, I think it was 3 sacks.
TJ Watt, he's good.
Yeah,
TJ Watt.
Turns out that guy's really good.
He is pretty good, but I've got a fun one for you.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Larry Borum didn't give up a single pressure on 41 pass block snaps against TJ Watt when he was on his side.
That's promising stuff. That's good offensive line play, is I think we've established, like Dale, you've mentioned it a bunch. That's the core to success. And to get that against a Pittsburgh team that we consider a tough defense, it's good to see it.
An offensive line and a quarterback can make a team good. That, like, it's that easy when you have Tom Brady can do it with a offensive line and the weapons that he had a few of those years in New England when it was no names. Good for them. Like, all you need is an offensive line and a quarterback. You can figure it out.
Well, and it was awesome to see some of the other young guys that we've been waiting on some stuff, like Cole Kmet, 6 receptions, 87 yards on 8 targets, longest was 25.
Did you see them after the game, him and Justin together, yeah, walking that, yeah, video, that clip where he's like, we're going to get there. Like,
we're building on this.
And it was just the two of them, like, side by side. And I was like, this is like fuel for my dreams.
It's give it all to me. Let me continue to see some development from some young guys. Let me get Tevin Jenkins back. Let's see. How about David Montgomery? He only had 13 carries. He didn't have a typical David Montgomery day, but 13, 63, 21 yards on the longest. Welcome back, Gum Gums.
Absolutely. The run game's still there, and probably to start closing out the offense, I think the most important thing is that Pro Football Focus, number one rated quarterback, team of the week, Justin Fields,
baby. Right here on the list.
Rock
baby.
Hard.
Absolutely, and it should be. It's the two best games, the two last games that he's played in Bears uniform. We should be happy. This is what building looks like.
Man, and just primetime him. I know we'll move on to defense, but primetime him was so, like, for some reason, I had no doubt. Like, Justin Fields in primetime, I'm like, hey, he's going to get this done. And I don't know why I'm saying this, but I believe it.
It's one of the few times where you're like, I feel good about this.
Yeah. I think we might have sullied a little too early, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, my God. We'll get there.
Offensive grades. Who wants to start?
Sam does. Sam wants to start.
I've got actually this is a two-parter here. I have the first half. We had a D plus on offense, but we figured something out, and I've got a B plus in the second half.
Yeah. What does that average do?
I liked separating them better than averaging them, so I'm gonna leave it at that.
Nice.
20. Plus, I don't know how to add letters together and then divide them. So.
All right. On that note, I don't know how to respond to that. I got a B. Like, it's a solid B. Offense played okay.
What do we go? 20 unanswered. We had a 20-point run.
There's some there's some special teams in there though that scored the tutty.
So. Yeah, but that's why it's a solid B. It played fine.
Yeah. I like that. I like that solid B.
I'm right there. Like, B plus, I would say. Like, you took care of the ball. You had production in the air. Like, hey, Allen Robinson.
I'll give them an A when they score 30.
Yeah.
B plus. Also, the defense did give them one.
Right. And so.
Special teams.
If the offense scores that touchdown, it's a B plus. If they score 30 points total, it's an A. I'm right there with you.
Cool, fair. I'm with that too. On the defensive side, so I am a little frustrated on the defensive side because we are still seeing these goddamn penalties. These professional athletes. I get it. We'll talk about the refs and we'll talk about some of the bad calls. Guys, Robert Quinn has been in the league for years. Deshaun Gibson's been in the league for years. You're lining up offsides.
Shameful.
Fucking blow Shame. Me, dude. I'm hot all over again. Oh my God, how did this happen?
This is the side of the argument, and as Bears fans, we'll definitely get to the other side of the argument, but this is the side of the argument where you have to look at the tape and go, yeah, he was offsides. You just cannot do that. At the end of the day, you can feel however you want about the ref calls, but there's multiple calls in that game where you have to look at the refs and go, yeah, we fucked that one up. We sure did.
And that's where eventually it has to come back to. Like, we talked about it. I forget what game it was recently that we were upset with a couple of the calls.
Packers game.
Yeah, it was the Packers game. But it's like, dude, this is supposed to be your job. This is your profession. Don't rely on the refs. Get your shit done. Win your matchups and take them out of the equation.
You're
one of my favorite people that I like to listen to is Olin Krutz. I've always liked him since I was a kid.
He's good.
I love 57. I've worn his number. Anyway, during the post game, one of the things he said is, like, you can cry all you want, but at the end of the day, you're a professional athlete. Like,
Thank you.
Do your job.
Talk
I don't
shit.
Care about penalties that you can't control. There were a lot of them that you could have.
Oh, absolutely. They, I mean, statistically, they held them. We outplayed them. By the numbers. You just gave them 115 yards.
Field position was awesome, too, because their punter had an off night. He's a great punter, but he had a terrible night. And we had short fields or just, you know, better field position than usual for the majority of the game.
It was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get around it at this point. The number one thing that I have written down is it's a damn shame we lost that game.
Yeah, it's a it damn really a shame. Damn shame.
I think you can shame. Sum the game up on defense with the Big Ben naked boot to get that first down where he was running at, like, the speed of smell and just, like, fell dying. Across the line. Yeah.
That was
brutal.
Yes, but that drive was aided by some questionable decisions, not only by the referees, but also by the Bears a little bit. You've got to get more pressure back there. They did a great job, I think, and they did mix things up, and they did get pressure on the quarterback with four sacks. During the end of that game, they went back to old Bears kind of prevent-y, I felt like, and less about we need to stop them from getting in field goal range.
Yep.
Also, just props to Boswell. He's just a good kicker.
Yeah.
Big Ben might be one of the few cases where I see him run and I think, wow, he's slower than he looks.
Not a lot of them.
He is done. Big Ben, guys, is done. The guy cannot throw it down the field. They're just kind of in this rut right now. I get what you're saying, Dale. It's a damn shame that we lost. And in the immediacy after the game, I agree. I probably felt the same. It's a damn shame we lost. But then you kind of think about it. Is it a damn shame that we lost?
Yes. Emphatically.
Why?
These are... Oh, man.
And that was,
What are the odds? What are the odds that I had to do that? this is a professional sport. The objective is to win at all times.
Yeah, but are you a year-by-year fan? Or are you a... Are you a long-term... Are you a life? You're a lifetime fan. I'd consider you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like you're a year by year fan waiting to see the outcome. But I mean, you're looking at this big picture, right?
Oh, so I see.
Yeah, you got it.
You're looking at this big picture. I wanted the W because I think we should have won that game. I really do think we should have won that game.
Agreed.
But like, I will 100% agree that the most important thing that could have happened that week of football, regardless of the outcome, is Justin Fields have a good game, and that's what happened.
Thank you.
I'm with you on that 100%.
Cool. So, I mean, defense guys, like Roquan Smith was great. It was good to see him back out there kind of commanding that side of the ball. And a couple times pre-snap, he's kind of moving guys and kind of calling stuff out. It's just when he's on, that defense plays better too.
It seemed like Kendall Vildor was just getting fucking murdered. I feel like every time I looked around or watched the play, it was him getting caught.
I saw a stat that he's like the lowest pass defense guy in the league right now.
He's starting two nickels starting three nickels included.
Yeah, he's just getting fucking burned.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, from the defense to kind of wrap it up, guys, we'll go into some grades here. Very, very promising. I don't like the end of the game. I'll give him a B, maybe right around a B, like an 83%. You could still give it a B and not a B minus. They played well, but they didn't make the stops when I needed them to, but they kept your offense in the game, and that's what we have asked for. It's a B for me.
Yeah, I've got C plus B minus written on my paper, and we got to Ben, four times, I think.
Four sacks, is that correct?
And it could have been more, but that I'm stuck right in that rut of the B minus area.
Jake.
Oh, we did finally get a sack, which was nice after two games of not getting sacks. I'm giving him a C, and I don't know if we're looping special teams into this, but I'd probably give him a D if they didn't get that touchdown. Because we didn't really have any other turnovers or anything like that.
No, another.
And they are the reason we ended up losing that game. They did nothing in that final drive that the Steelers put up. And there were two offsides penalties. So,
yeah, that's true. You're right.
I have C plus down, but Jake just talking to a C, like everything good that they did at the end of the game, you had the opportunity to win. Like one stop. You needed this stop.
Well, you just needed to not be offsides twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm changing.
I'm 100% with you, penalties aside, one stop. Regardless if it's a first down because of penalty or first down because they got 10 yards, you didn't get the one that you needed.
That's yeah, it. I'll change mine. You guys are totally right. I'm like a C.
Well, and so that's the duality of it. Flip side, if they make that stop, B+.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Because they want us to
get it. Yeah, I'd be like, oh, fuck yeah. The defense did
exactly.
It.
Like that's
the highs and lows. That's exactly it. So then we did grades. You guys want to do, I'll let you kind of pick the path that we go. Do you want to do coaching or do you want to talk about the refs?
Coaching.
So let's talk about coaching. Matt's got to go. And I know Matt's.
It's criminal.
I know we said Matt's got to go like every week.
But now he's really got to go?
A very real question. Calling plays?
It's not even that. It's game.
No, I'm just like, is he still calling plays?
I don't
think so. I'm asking.
My guess is no. I don't care.
What is Matt Nagy bringing to this team right now?
Nothing.
Oh, he's so close with his players.
I'm with you. That's what
we
I'm
talked about.
Super close. Camaraderie.
They're oh my
so
god,
so close, dude. He's amazing.
I'm so tired
guy.
Of hearing about that shit. Camaraderie, and he's a good locker room guy. And
we're
he's,
a family.
Guys, we've never been closer.
We've had a bunch.
I know we just lost devastatingly.
I tested positive for COVID, but we're still really close.
We've had a bunch of conversations, and we're working on this, but motherfucker, you've given this to us for 4 years now.
Go off, King.
I don't want this anymore. I don't want you anymore, Matt Nagy. I don't want you in my life. I don't trust you with my prized quarterback possession that now I know Justin Fields is here. The last thing I need is some fucking idiot messing things up for me. And even messing things up in the game. Guys, the field goal play, the end of the game.
Stupid. Just such a bad call.
I could pull my fucking hair out thinking about, like, okay, so when the kickers go through pregame, it's a ritual. You kick the longest field goal you possibly can going into the north end. Oh, my God. I'm, like, emotional. You kick into the north end, and then you kick one into the south end. And you let your coach know, hey, this is how far I got into the north. This is how far I got into the south. Guys, Cairo Santos has not kicked a field goal longer than 56 yards. The longest field goal in Heinz Field. One of the most difficult
things. It's just impossible,
guys,
to kick there.
Hall of Fame, Robbie Gould has said it multiple times. Heinz Field is harder to kick in than Soldier Field, and Robbie kicked there weekly. The longest field goal there is 57 yards. They trotted him out there to kick a 10 yards longer in a field that nobody has success kicking in. Matt, your key card shouldn't work anymore. You shouldn't be allowed to work here.
It's insane.
They asked him to set a close to a new record, and that's not his game. So, like, it's just the worst decision you can make in that situation. Well, you might as well run a draw play.
Fuck, man. Punt it at that point. If you're going to kick punt it. Punt it.
You've scored on one of those. Free kick. Like, try. Yeah.
Free kick.
Maybe you have a better chance of some shenanigans.
I have a free kick. No one will know what the fuck is going on.
And, of course, were you guys watching, like, on TV, or did you – I don't know when you watched it or, like, how you consumed it, but
– illegally.
I was on the floor.
Guys.
I was laughing.
The last kick – the kick looked like it hit the upright.
That's
the commentators thought.
We all thought it hit the upright.
When it came down, because watching it fly through the air, I was like, oh my God, it's good. And then it comes down and it looks like it hits the crossbar, and I just collapsed on the ground and I just started laughing. I just thought the situation was so comical. I just lost it completely.
So watching it, my wife fell asleep watching The Office as we were on the couch, and I'm watching it in the last play. I saw the same thing. I thought he doinked it, and my wife got really mad because I woke her up when I shouted, "You've got to be fucking kidding me!"
Yeah, and then you see the side profile, and he was like 15 yards short.
It was so short. How did they, like? Because I saw this. I thought the same thing as the commentators. I thought it hit it.
Yeah,
I was like, "Damn, Cairo." That was a great kick. Turns out, like, barely got to the end zone. Or halfway in.
To end his streak at 40, like, on a kick that nobody is ever going to hit.
Guys, John Harbaugh probably doesn't throw Justin Tucker out there for that kick.
Zero shot.
And you threw him out there. You mean to tell me that you don't think you have a better chance at lining up Allen, Cole Kmet, and Jimmy Graham on one side of the field, run to a corner, and I'll throw a jump ball at you. Fuck, it was a prayer anyways. At least give us a shot, Matt.
And you've got a quarterback that can throw it 60 yards in the air.
I'd rather put the prayer in the arm than the prayer in the leg in that scenario.
For sure, dude.
Oh.
That's pop.
All right. It's a jam.
Singing off mic.
Do you guys, I mean, I'm not going to, I'm running my coaching grading as a pass-fail class, and it's fail, and you can't take this class anymore.
I'm with you.
I like it.
Oh, we're grading the coach?
Fuck him.
That's a thing?
F is for fuck you, Matt
Nagy. Oh, I kicked him out of my class.
Dude. And then I just got my blood pressure back down.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy for you, buddy.
So let's talk about the fucking refs.
How dare they?
Our next segment.
No.
No.
We're talking about...
Not that guy.
No. We're talking about the refs right now, too, as a recap from everything. Oh, and then we'll get into...
Not... literally wanted to.
Yeah.
I figured we just lead into it with Not That Guy.
So then...
Not That Guy of the Week.
Not That Guy. It's a pretty easy one this week, guys. You're right. We'll kind of lump these both in together. So this is going to be a consensus amongst the gang.
Absolutely.
Tony Carranti. Holy shit, guys. Tony Carranti. The
hip check.
Do we know if he's like a dentist or a lawyer? That's usually their jobs, right?
So
do we know?
In like 7-8 years, right? When we see the Netflix special come out about the point fixing, about point shaving. Yeah.
Who's he related
to? The inner something, some fucking crazy Netflix documentary about this. are you going to look back at this game and say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Guys,
I can see it.
I'll remember this shit forever. The worst, the most poorly officiated game I've ever seen. And it doesn't make sense statistically. How is it that lopsided?
Tony was a former teacher and baseball coach for high school.
Social sciences.
Fired. What did he do? Punch a kid?
No, he retired.
He had cancer.
Didn't punch a kid. Dale's not laughing at the cancer.
Because he thought it was something like he punched a kid.
Cancer sucks. We're an anti-cancer podcast.
No. Fuck Tony Corrente.
We're still an anti-cancer podcast.
Shout out to my dog walk lady from last week who's battling cancer. She's still Yanni. Great. Yeah, Yanni. Laurel. Still a big fan.
She fought off Akeem Hicks. So,
well,
we're good with that piece of shit. I mean, guys, it's like...
It was bad. The hit checked everything, the multiple calls.
I've seen the petitions going around, first of all. Guys, petitions. Come on. Change.org.
They don't do anything.
Don't share... If you share it on Facebook and I see you are actually thinking that it's going to make a difference...
I'm unfollowing.
Blocked. But...
I'd rather hear about your pyramid scheme.
Honestly.
The taunting penalty in general is a joke. And the fact that it came back and fucked us like it did. Dude, Roger Goodell in the NFL, you guys need to figure something out.
We're just on a... I just don't like this trend we're on where the Bears just keep getting hosed by refs every week.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. Like, I hate blaming shit on the refs.
Yeah.
But when it's that, like, blatant, it just... I have, like, no choice but to say it. And,
yeah.
And that frustrates me.
I mean, the taunting penalty, the missed pass interference.
Roughing the passer.
Multiple times. The other one was after he slid and then got folded like a pretzel.
I mean, Justin Fields is right. Like, Big Ben just got that call. Why doesn't he get that call? Because he's young? Fuck that. Your job is to officiate this game with no bias based on what you see. You missed calls. We know that there's a grading scale. We know that, like, they get ranked on how they do. Guys, Tony Corrente and that crew needs to be suspended. There needs to be an investigation.
I'm pretty sure I heard this. I think you said this, like, last week.
Did I? Oh, yeah. Well, they need to be investigated, too. This is bad. You can't... Professional football teams can't lose games because of the refs. They should be non-existent.
When the entire commentary team is going,
ooh... That's pretty bad. And there's multiple times that the literal rules official that they bring in go, yeah, that's not a call. Or, yeah, that's not a penalty in my book. Or, yeah, they really should have called that since the defensive end took 2.5 steps before, or rather after Justin threw the ball and then made contact. Like, it got to the point where I remember in our entire league group chat, they scored the touchdown, and then there was a really long pause in the commentary team. And someone asked why you thought that was. And the answer was because they were waiting for the flag to come in. Like, it was that bad.
The James, not to hit on every single one, but I feel like they all burn equally. The James Daniel illegal hit, even though he didn't make contact, and even if he does make contact...
Within
the tight end box, it's still a legal hit anyways. What the fuck is going on?
Also... If you look at the All-22, T.J. Watt is lined up offsides on the final field goal in the game.
Uh-huh. And I wonder if you're 5 yards closer and re-kick that. I mean, Cairo's still
offsides. You mean throw that.
Maybe 5 yards closer and then Nagy decides, oh, shit, maybe if they call a game the right way, we're not in that spot.
Either way, it's hard to blame games on refs, but in this situation, you can literally point to a point in the game where they took 4 points away from us on the field goal that should have been a touchdown in the corner on that James Daniel play, and you go, that right there, that is why we lost the game.
Oh, yeah, the block?
Right.
Yeah.
But more so that, like, you... In a lot of games, you can say, oh, bad refereeing. You know, they called a pass interference here, and then they went on to score. No. We scored on that play. And then you missed 2 more roughing the passer penalties, and then we had to settle for 3. That's 100, like, there's 3 points right there. We win the game with those 3.
True. All right, quick question. I weighed 90 pounds in, for most of high school, so didn't play football. What was the actual call on that block that happened inside the tackle box, and they acted like it was outside the tackle box? The one they called the touchdown back on, what was that penalty?
Well, it's,
was it like an illegal block or something?
Yeah, it's an illegal low block. So if an outside linebacker is lined up outside of the tight end box, you're not allowed to initiate contact with the legs. Well, that guy was inside of where the tight end was because the tight end was out in the slot, and James Daniels didn't make contact with him anyways. So you made a call on something that didn't happen, and even if it did happen, it was fucking legal.
Right, because Watt ends up putting his hand on Daniels' shoulder and getting outside of it. Daniels never gets to his legs.
So now we're penalizing guys for missing blocks.
For missing legal blocks.
Yeah, falling down.
We got to move on.
Oh, okay. Let's do it.
We got to move on. So that's not that guy.
Take a baby aspirin.
Tony Corrente, fuck you. Sam, take us into this next segment.
Dog sit?
That is the one, my friend.
Ooh, so right now...
I've got one on here,
and I'm going, who am I letting dog sit for me and for the foreseeable future? Like, putting him in my phone contacts, you know, setting up a recurring payment. Justin Fields. Justin Fields can dog sit for me. And you know what? Throw Larry Borum in there, too, because in his first two starts, the man is playing like he's supposed to be there and wants to be there, and I love it. So those two guys, you know, you can watch Peyton. Hell, you can watch Jake's Sasha too at the same time.
Nice.
Two for one deal.
Nice.
All right.
Well, and Justin Fields loves his dog Uno, so that's like.
Oh, good call.
I love it so much. He can totally watch. Can I go?
Sure.
So, I will tell you guys who I would let dog sit: Gus Boy, and also the Jokic brothers.
Oh man,
yes. The Jokic brothers. Dude, the whole family, y'all just want to hang out.
Ride or die.
Perfect. Like, always invited to a barbecue. Whenever doors open, you guys could just come through. But that whole Markieff and Marcus Morris. So Markieff, hard fouls, Jokic at half court.
Hard fouls.
Guys, it's even worse.
It's a tackle.
It's a flagrant. It's egregious. And it's game 10 of the season. So hard fouls him. So Jokic, being 100 pounds heavier, levels the guy midcourt, and all hell ensues.
But
and
nobody wanted any smoke.
No, because everybody knows Jokic is a dog, and then his brothers are sitting in the stands. And so the Twitter beef that's come out, take a look at it. It's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Those guys are some real European criminals. Like, those are some bad, bad dudes.
Watching my dog for the week will be Alex Caruso.
Yes, good call.
I just love that man.
He's a lovable guy.
Isn't he? Look at him.
He's
the Caruso
show.
He's the Caruso, dude.
Kids, babies wearing headbands.
Babies wearing headbands.
To watch your kids, to watch your dog, whatever.
MVP chance when he's at the free throw line just makes me so happy. Like, that means everybody's buying in.
So, watching Willie this week, staying in the NBA, I made some motions to Sam because you were talking about this guy earlier. I had Arturis Karnisovas as my
dog watch guy. In a year and a half, he's turned around a franchise, brought talent in, and he makes good decisions. He makes good calls. He can watch Willie.
Garpacks could never.
Right.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, dude.
You know what? I think what would happen is AK, he'd be like, you know what? I know who needs to watch your dog, so I'm going to bring him in. And they're going to watch your dog for you.
I'm all for outsourcing. You just got to make sure the job's done well.
As long as my payment's the same, I don't care who.
Exactly.
Fuckers.
Sam, who's watching Pepe? Pepe Booper?
Justin Fields.
Oh, that's right.
And Uno. So, guys, this is a bye week. We're in a little, we're in uncharted waters. So, we don't have a game to look ahead to.
Wait, we're on bye?
We're on bye this week.
Fuck.
So, sir, another Sunday of no football. Enjoy the day. Be extra productive.
Go for a walk.
Wait,
Jake, what's wrong?
Oh, well, this is my yearly hunting trip, and I normally watch...
Best case... Oh, okay. I thought you would miss it.
Huh?
I thought
No, I always watch it, and it's just fun to watch it with guys that don't care about professional football. They just bitch the whole time. It's great.
And you look like such hardo, just like yelling about everything.
Not to linger on this. Give me like one. What's something they bitch about? Give me one thing.
What would Lou say?
No, Bill. The guy who owns the ranch.
I'll take this one off air.
Yeah, okay, got it. So moving on.
So guys, we are 2 weeks. Man. We are 2 weeks in a row with that. So here's what we'll do for bye week. A little fun constructive exercise. Okay. Let's look at, we're at the halfway point of the season, right? So we'll look at the first 8 games. We'll kind of give a grade for how the first half of the season's gone, just kind of talk about it a little bit, and then we'll go into what to expect second half and beyond. Dale, take it away.
So, to be very quick, we, as my grade for the first half, I'm going to give them a C. And that is because expectations have been very clearly set. We'll be competitive in a lot of games. We're not going to win a lot of games. I'm okay with that now as a fan moving forward, as long as my quarterback continues to progress.
I was actually going C as well, you know, but
nice.
Very similar reasons, and I feel like we'd be flirting with C plus. I can't tell you how, but I feel like we could be just somewhere close to that. I mean, we're not winning games, and that's whatever, you know, I've written it off. So I'm going C mainly because we have Justin Fields. And we have the framework of a defense that needs to make some moves. And we have the framework of an offense that needs a coach.
Guys, I'm at a firm B. Like,
B. Sell me on this.
Well,
need this.
So, a long time has passed since episode one. Since the schedule, since the hype train was loading up.
Best Star Wars
movie. I have, like I said, I've reshaped...
I don't even know if he said that on mic.
I did not.
I have reshaped my expectations here. From the beginning, we've talked about Justin Fields and his progression and his development. Every week, I could say Justin Fields has gotten a little better, with the last 2 games that we've seen being his 2 best starts. So to see incremental growth, especially when you didn't see him for the first 2 weeks, you see him get better. I'm not judging the Bears based on wins because I know we're not going to win. I'm judging it based on how does Justin Fields look at the midway point and how is Justin Fields going to look at the end of the season, and are we sure that we have our guy? That's a B in my book. That's a win. That's all I ask for, and that's all I want to see the rest of the season.
So I feel like this is similar. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago where you had said we're dead. I was not in. A week goes by, and now I'm 100% in with you.
Yeah, I'm talking to Mike.
I'm just behind you right now. I'm still on the C. I haven't bought into the whole the season's just gone, write the entire thing off yet. I'm almost there, but I'm next week I'm probably going to agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I like just have the ability to, like I said, look at it objectively. Look at everything and take a step back and say, okay, you know what your team looks like against the good teams. You know what your team looks like against the bad teams. And we go from there. Tamper the expectation, but develop my quarterback so I'm having fun times for years and years to come. Who hasn't gone?
Me.
Go, Jake Dog.
So you beat me to all of these things.
I'm very sorry.
And just in the fact of looking at this objectively and what I want in this season. And so... what I wanted was the Bears essentially to lose, but Justin Fields look good. So in that case, everything's going according to plan. I'm giving him an A.
At the beginning of the season, why did you want the Bears to lose?
Because it's not that I want them to lose. I like if they started out hot, I'd be like, this is fucking awesome. We're
going all the way.
We're rolling. I was wrong about Nagy. Like, all he needed was a good quarterback. All that stuff. But that didn't happen. We're back to where we were. Nagy is bad, and I just want Justin Fields to be a good quarterback. So that's where we're essentially at in that scenario. So I'm gonna just give this season an A so far. As long this is only, we're only halfway through.
Right.
I think I can really solidify that A if at the end of the year Matt Nagy gets fired.
That's the chance.
And Justin Fields still looks good.
Let me ask you this.
Do it.
And this is probably a good transition to the second half.
Okay.
Because we're gonna now talk about what are your second half outlooks, right?
Yep.
Perfect. If Justin Fields has a bad game week 11, what is the outlook? Because I feel like we're riding high because he's had his two best games for the last two games. We're riding the wave pretty high right now. If he goes back to having one more bad game, are we at the place where Justin just happened to have two good games and all the rest of them have been mediocre at best or worse?
I say no. I got to see that game. We're talking obviously very hypothetical.
Of course.
We haven't seen the game. If he's throwing picks right at players, okay, yeah, what the fuck?
But if he's running for his life.
But if he's running for his life and
that's fair.
Everybody's failing him, okay, I'm not going to blame him, you know.
I think you can have a bad game because you know that he's still a rookie and you can see it coming. You can see or you would understand if there was a bad game. But I've seen him perform. I know he can do it. I know it's in there. Just like we saw Mitch do it. We saw him perform at times and do it. Much less, but we saw it. It's guys, Justin, it feels different. It looks different. I think that we can be excited for this.
Yeah, you're 100% right because Mitch at his best wasn't as good as Justin at just below his like his peak so far this season, right? So that's the way I'm looking at it, is that a lot of those times where Mitch was at his best, he didn't have a worry in the world. The defense was getting short fields, the whole thing. And so Mitch at his best looks like Justin Fields, like right now under pressure, like not having all the things around him to succeed, right? He's trying to find a way to succeed within this hand that he's been dealt right now. And he still looks, the eye test is even better right now.
Yeah,
so.
Because I mean, I'm just looking at this. This is what we got from a Matt Nagy Bill Lazor offense. I mean, if we get somebody competent that we know isn't a fraud, and maybe this is a meathead fan, so call me out if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, love it.
But I feel like if you get somebody in here who knows what they're doing, who has the ability to put him in a position to succeed, like shit, he's doing this in spite of. What happens when somebody's wind in his sails? Hey.
Yeah.
Then we've got something. And you can sell me on the fact that, Dale, to touch on your point of kind of looking ahead to the second half of the season, we got some young guys here that Larry Borum, Tevin Jenkins might come back. Cole Kmet looked like he had himself a game. Jalen Johnson, obviously Roquan Smith. Yeah, we've got age on the roster. And that's why I don't think we're a playoff-ready team. But I think you've got pieces that you can build around and see what you got second half. Know what you got going into future seasons.
Yeah, so I think we'll leave this for next week, but I think what we should do is look at the second half schedule, and we're going to have you go through that with this team the way that we did at the beginning of the season.
We can revise our predictions.
In the interest of time, how about we rattle off the games that are less and you tell us how many games you think you win out of those.
And we'll do it quick.
So here we go. So the rest of the games we're on by this week, think of the wins that you have in your head. The remaining schedule starting November 21st goes.
Count them under the table.
There you go. Everyone get a hand.
By the way, we'll be there November 21st if anyone wants to come hang out with us.
Oh,
so
I've made a mistake.
Should you tailgate and invite people to tailgate with us?
Sure.
We're
going to be tailgating. We'll set out details. Anyway, so rest of the season, you've got versus Baltimore, at Detroit, versus Arizona, at Green Bay, versus Minnesota, at Seattle, versus New York.
Which one?
Giants, at Minnesota. Does everyone have their set number of fingers ready? Because we're going to put them all up on three.
Okay.
One,
great radio.
Two, three. Okay, so me and Marcus are on the same page. Sam and Jake have wildly different expectations.
Is that two or one?
This is two.
Okay.
So Jake is the least. Let's start with Jake. Jake, who's your two?
I took the Lions and the Giants.
Marcos, you were next, tied with me with three. Who are your three?
The Ravens.
You have them as a win.
I do have that as a win.
God bless you. What are your three wins?
Because we're in the house.
Because we're going to be there. That's why I'm thinking we're going to win.
I respect
it's
that.
It's big boss. Bears, Ravens. I got us beating the Lions, and I got us beating the Giants.
I've got three as well. I've got at Detroit versus Giants and home Minnesota. Sam has five wins on this. You're
goddamn right I do.
I love you. Go ahead.
I got you, buddy. Love you too, I think. I got Lions. I've got Vikings at Soldier Field. I've got us at the Seahawks. I've got the Giants at Soldier Field. And I've got us at the Vikings.
So you have us winning the last four games and just fucking rolling into this.
Oh, yeah, and at that point, we might make a wild card.
That is the worst possible thing that could ever happen.
Why is that the worst?
Nagy's going to be the coach next year.
Keeps his job.
Guys, you're already, as we are right now, you're already in danger. If Justin puts a good rest of the season together, you're already in danger of bringing that dickhead back.
The one reason I disagree with you, what was Lovie Smith's record?
10-6.
Lovey's different.
But we didn't make the playoffs that year.
And we didn't make the playoffs going 10-6.
I wish the world could see Dale's face.
No! I don't know how to feel about this.
All right, either way, five wins. It's going to be a hell of a stretch. It's going to be a great time. Everybody be there.
We cannot make the playoffs. We cannot make the playoffs.
You mean we can't
see, not I don't, make I the don't playoffs. Know if you're saying this as in, like, we cannot for the good of our team, or like we cannot because we are physically and mentally incapable of doing so.
First one.
I think both, but I think one is more
true. Little column A, little column B.
I think one is more true than the other. I think that we can maybe make the playoffs if you get an even better second half of the season from some people. But I mean, for us, we can't make the playoffs because then this resets the timer for Matt and Ryan. Then we're back here doing all of this. So that's where I'm at for second half of the season. We'll kind of figure out where we're going with this and what
we're
going to
figure it out.
All right, everybody. So this is going to lead us into the voicemail section.
So
with the voicemail section, Marcos already has some questions from some of our loyal listeners. Y'all are crazy. Can't believe you're listening to this, but take it away.
Yeah, guys, again, just if you want to leave us an email or a question, you can email, you can text us.
You can tweet me.
Tweet at DaBearmanPod, and any way to get a hold of us, guys, but we're happy to go over some stuff kind of with you and amongst ourselves. So this is from Mike. Mike living out in Berwyn. He goes to the Lalos. So he hit up the Bare Minimum Podcast. He said, "Hey, boys. Wanted to ask a sports question. This came from me watching the first half of the Steelers game and the last couple seasons, just to give you a little context. So back when we drafted Mitch, we saw what Deshaun and Patrick Mahomes became. We as Bears fans were up in arms that we let those guys slip away, and we made moves to get Mitch. After watching the last few years and the team on the field, I can't help but ask, where would we be if we drafted Patrick Mahomes?"
So I think it's a really good question, and it's funny because I asked myself a similar question just the other day. I asked myself, what would DK Metcalf be if the Chicago Bears had drafted him? Because I think the answer is a third receiver on a really bad team. If we had drafted Pat Mahomes, he would still be a decent quarterback, but his entire career would be hampered by the Chicago Bears coaching staff and the lack of weapons that he has versus the Kansas City offense.
Yeah, I think two things have to be right with it. And, Mike, this is an awesome question, dude. So thank you for listening.
Very good question.
Thanks,
and
Mikey,
for sending this in. So I think that this is it's two-part. You need the right pick, but really, and maybe more importantly, you need the right fit. You need to have somebody there, like we've been begging for, to push this guy along, to get him ready to go. I mean, have we in the last couple years, have we had that person in Chicago?
I mean, not really. And it's
the answer is no.
Well, you're right. It's just hard to say too, because Mahomes was drafted before this current regime. Head coach. I think Pace was here. Yeah, Pace was here when that happened, because he's the one that traded up for Mitch Trubisky, never forget. And we could have a different head coach there. We could have a different staff entirely calling plays and developing quarterbacks. So it's really hard to say. It really is. A lot of variables.
I do think, though, to a certain point, talent will supersede whatever, you know, coaching or lineup you have. I look at Matt Stafford forever just on bad teams, you know, with the Lions. But he can sling it and always has. So maybe, I don't know. I look at it like, I think Patrick Mahomes would probably be good no matter what, but maybe not, doesn't have the pedigree that he has in the current state falling to the Chiefs.
100% agree with that.
Agree too.
Not throwing 56 touchdowns or whatever it was, but so we'll jump it right into, we've got, Seth from Romeoville.
I thought Seth was in Beecher.
Yeah, he moved last weekend. So.
Oh, he's no longer working at the meat factory out in Beecher.
Not the meat pack anymore.
Still working there. He's scaling up. Like, come on. Good for him.
So he works at the Beecher meat factory.
Yeah, it's just a longer commute.
At the Beecher meat factory?
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
Wow,
good for him. I'm happy for Seth.
Let's hear his voicemail. Let's hear it, like, with
volume. What Italian mafioso Tony Corrente is fucking connected to, and how much money he put on the Steelers winning that game in Vegas. Because that officiating was horseshit. It was next-level horseshit. It was horseshit on a level that has yet to be seen this year, in a year of terrible officiating. Other than that, Justin Fields is the guy, Aaron Rodgers is a piece of shit, and the government is lying about 9/11.
My favorite part is that he's obviously driving this entire time, and he's been thinking about this for a while.
It's a long drive from Romeoville.
He's got a hell of a commute back to the pack. So, yeah, that was Seth.
Seth, that's awesome. Yeah,
we're with you, Seth.
I mean, dude, we're...
Well, yeah, I don't know about that last
for
part.
For some of it.
Yeah. We're more or less.
Oh, no, Seth, we're with you.
Marcos is with you.
Yeah, I've got some questions, though.
Seth, keep calling, dude. Your calls are great.
Please.
Dude.
Every week. All right, we're going out now, one of our favorite recurring guests here.
Cousin Jimmy?
From the West Coast.
Is he in Winnetka?
Winnetka?
Yeah, he's from Winnetka.
Yeah, he's a transplant.
They got money in Winnetka, actually.
Oh, hey there, Bare Minimum Boys. Cousin Jimmy calling in. Long-time listener, first-time caller. How you doing?
That's a lie.
We've been through the song and dance once before, my friend.
But he just said his first time.
It's sad. The days are done. But Aaron Rodgers, let's get to it. He's a scumbag. No one hates Aaron Rodgers more than Cousin Jim. But he did lay out the execution strategy to get the Bears to the playoffs. We're going to get Andy Dalton to lick every doorknob in downtown Chicago and then cough and sleep in the visitor room locker room. Get the whole team COVID, we're going to win. Bears going to the playoffs. Super Bowl
23. Dude, that's a we win if from Sam, if I've ever heard of that. So Andy Dalton licks every doorknob in the city and then visits the visiting locker room.
I love that.
Oh, God, love you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, as I think I'll speak for everybody, and I know we talked about it last week, but Aaron Rodgers, I don't care how many times you go on the Pat McAfee show and you try to explain your situation, dude, you lied and you're a piece of shit.
I can't get over Pat's face when Aaron was explaining, like, that Joe Rogan was his new best friend, and Pat's face just, like, seizes up. He's like, oh, shit.
Covers up his mouth so you can't see his smile.
Like, the age-old hand over the mouth, and he changes it from the, oh, what did you say face to the, oh, tell me more. Yeah, no kidding. And he does, I love it. Good for Pat.
And then we got one more. We got Mikey, and he's giving us a call out in Kendall County.
Yeah, giving us a little question. And see what Mike's got for us.
Gentlemen, this is Mikey from Yorkville calling you. Thanks for having me. I am very curious on what you think about this current taunting calls that the NFL is enforcing. To me, it seems that for a league that celebrates literally everything, every catch, every tackle, every sack, every play.
Talk that shit, Mikey.
I just don't understand why they're drawing the line where they're drawing it. So my question for you is, what do you think of the current NFL policy, and what do you think taunting should actually be in the NFL? Looking forward to hearing your responses.
The NFL is cyclical. They always just feel like they need a controversy, whether it's what's a catch? Should taunting be illegal? Oh, this year we're going to allow celebrations. It's always fucking something, and it's always one something, and it's just so overblown. And so in 2 years, taunting is going to be out, and we're going to have a new controversy. I don't know what it is yet, but it's going to happen.
Think about it. The defense, the Cameron Hayward interception at the Steelers game, guys, Cam Hayward intercepts it. The entire defense runs to the end zone to take videos and pictures in front of the camera. You've got to be kidding me. Is that not taunting?
I feel attacked.
If like the entire team can go do the electric slide in one end zone and there's not even a flag, but one guy does a flip kick, whatever that was. I don't know. I don't know MMA. And then stares at a bench. Flag 15, baby.
Go ahead, Dale.
First off, act like you've seen a roundhouse kick before. Second off, that was oddly, Marcos, I was saying the exact same thing to Sam earlier. There's cameras in both these end zones so that when people do great things, they can go and celebrate explicitly. For Cornetti or whatever the fuck his name is to say, I felt he was taunting them. And meanwhile, that's probably the only taunting foul I've seen so far. Where the other team wasn't pushing him away because he was fucking taunting them. At the end of the day, I'm going to guess, and I'm just guessing here, there's maybe 5 to 10 actual taunting calls last year where it was worthy of throwing a flag. You've already drawn so much attention to this. You've oversold the issue. You've overcorrected for the issue. You have now created a new issue for the 5 plays it actually affected last year. NFL, you're so fucking dumb.
I mean, that fucking cattle dewormer addict up in Green Bay, Aaron fucking Rodgers, like, that guy screamed on national television, I own you, I fucking own you. What more, like, is that not the definition of a taunt? But heaven forbid, a guy does a kick-ass double kick, stares at a sideline from a team that he was just cut from 2 months ago. So let the guy live. Ryan Clark was talking about it. These guys go through practice squads. They practice, they train, they've done their whole lives to be able to have that one moment. You work your ass off for that moment. And you mean to tell me after you succeed in that moment that then you're just supposed to, hands at my side. Yes, like that's what was expected of me. Thank you.
And the hip check after, like, dude, burn in hell.
Act like you've been there before. I haven't!
I haven't been there!
I've never been here!
It's my first time!
I think that was his third career sack.
Yeah, whatever. Fucking, you know, Tony Corrente. Guys, awesome voicemails, awesome questions. Please, again, just reach out to one of us directly. We'll have an email for sure set up here, unless... Producer Jake, do we have an email set up?
We have an email.
Is that the email you would like...
Yeah,
are we locked out of this one too, or what's
who's
going
we?
On? I mean, like, as a group, a collective. Yeah.
So we'll get an email address for you guys, so that way you can kind of get everything going.
It's dubbearminpod@gmail.
Dubbearminpod@gmail.
Send some questionable links to Jake too, just to see what happens.
IT Jake.
And now, to guys, this, and I know we say it, but like in all seriousness, like I'm excited all of our recording. For this moment right here. Dale's Trap Game of the Week.
Trap Game of the Week.
Trap Game of the Week.
Trap Game of the Week. Dale, how do you think you did last week?
So I'm just not going to answer that question right now. So I will say.
Cut his mic.
I know that I've said this twice already. I get it now. I get it.
Really? Because, like,
well,
if this podcast ends and within 2 minutes of it ending, you're like, I just don't get it. I'm going to put it in.
So if the listeners don't know, that's happened every one of the last four podcasts. So I really think I have it. So
before you get into this week's.
Go ahead.
How did last week's go?
I don't remember what I said.
Poorly.
Jake says poorly. So also, I did not. I now have a new understanding of what a trap game is. Mm-hmm. So if I would have had this understanding last week, I would have made a different pick. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what that pick would have been because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
You picked.
No, okay. Okay. Don't look at me like that.
To recap.
Go ahead.
You picked. You thought Bills Jaguars was too easy, so you picked Titans and Rams and said Rams are gonna demolish them. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page. L, and now go ahead and give us what your trap game of the week is.
Yeah, again, I now understand what trap games are.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, my trap game, I've got Seahawks at Packers. Is it Seahawks at Packers? I think it is.
Jake?
That's a game.
And that is Dale's
trap game of the week.
So I have two written down. I want everyone to know I have two written down.
Two and a half?
No, just two.
And a half.
Seahawks at Packers isn't my actual trap game. The other one that I have written down.
What's your hypothetical?
Lions at Steelers. I just, like, this might be the week the Lions win. We just gave the Steelers a run for their money. This might be the one. But otherwise, I think Seahawks at Packers. Russ is back. Russ run the table. Fuck Aaron and everyone that lives in Green Bay or anywhere near it.
Marcos, would those be the games you would have picked for your trap game of the week?
Don't get me wrong. You could probably convince me that those are trap-ish.
Okay, I'm going to take it.
No, you shouldn't.
I'm going to.
No, you shouldn't.
I said I'm going to.
Anything you can take is the 12th letter of the alphabet right now, dude. So just get out of here.
Did you count out letters?
I did.
To get to L?
Tonight's game is shaping up nicely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That was my other one.
No part of, like, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, you wouldn't have picked had Buffalo any part of and the Jets.
Bills, Jets.
I mean, the Bills just lost a trap game. Like, I'm
going to. Okay. Sure. I'll take that logic.
Okay.
See, I feel like you're saying that, but you don't mean that. You do not mean that when you said that.
Well, trap game of the week.
And that was Dale's trap game of the week. Guys, episode 10 is a wrap. Thanks for coming on back. It, again, is always, always good to be reunited with the boys. Again, we are on Twitter at DaBearMinPod. If you want to do questions, send us links it's DaBearMinPod@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Spotify, iTunes. Guys, enjoy the bye week. This weekend,
enjoy it.
Have fun watching Red Zone. Scott Hansen greater than Andrew Siciliano.
Yeah, Andrew Siciliano talks too much. Yeah. Like, he tries to commentate the
it's
game.
It's so corny.
Show me the play.
He's so corny. Scott.
Scott for life.
Scott forever and
Scott
ever.
Forever.
Guys, so let's go into the Bears bye week. We'll do a little reflecting. We'll look at the rest of the season. And as usual, my friends, bear the fuck down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Trap game of the week.
I feel good about those.